بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. We are dealing with the sixth chapter of this book. Part of explaining Tawheed is to have fear and hope. Fear from Allah and hope in His mercy. Also, establishing our Tawheed means another thing, where it is clarified in the next ayah, where قال إبراهيم لأبيه وقومه إنني براء مما تعبدون. When Ibrahim said to his father and his people, I am free, I disown whatever that you are worshipping. So from this ayah we took another important issue of explanation of Tawheed, which was basic and affirmation. Remember those two words are very important, negation and affirmation. You negate any other deity being worthy of worship, and then you affirm that Allah is worthy of worship. Because if somebody only affirms that Allah is worthy of worship, without negating, that does not make him a believer. You negate and affirm. And this is what Ibrahim said. He said to his people, I am free from any, whatever you are worshipping, this is negation. Except the one who created me, this is affirmation. So negation, affirmation, this is two things. The first two things that were in the ayah, love and fear. Negation, affirmation. And then we brought the ayah where he brought اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله. They took their priest and rabbi as Lord with Allah. So from this ayah we explain another issue that comes into the explanation of Tawheed, which was
making partners with Allah.
Obedience.
There's something called obedience should be only to Allah Azza wa Jal. If we obey others against the obedience of Allah, that will be an act of association. It could be an act of sinfulness, an act of following the desires. Somebody tell another, his friend, let us go have a drink, and he obeys him. That does not mean he is associated with Allah. He followed his desires and the temptation. But those people took the priests and rabbis as authority to legalize. Whatever was haram, they made it halal. And whatever was halal, they make it haram. And that is called shirk of ta'a. Because a ta'a should be only to Allah Azza wa Jal. If somebody made a deity to be obeyed in a fashion that whatever this deity and this authority that he takes, it will be followed, then he is making shirk ta'a. And also remember, all type of obedience to other than Allah, it could be shirk in the sense that a person following the desire, and the person who follows the desire intends he is taking his desires as his Lord. Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in reference to that, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ. Have you seen, did you know about the person who took his desires as his Lord? And the comparison is, lies in the fact that whatever his desires told him to do, he obeyed. And he said to his desires, I listened and obeyed. So in that emphasis, he made the desires as an authority over him to control. So the fifth aspect of explaining Tawheed, that we limit our obedience, total submissiveness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we take any other deity to direct us, and we whatever this deity says, to legalize what Allah made haram, or to make haram whatever Allah made halal, that we are making shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fifth ayah, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا تحبونهم كحب الله. Some people take with Allah partners, they love them as much as they love Allah. Nevertheless, the believers, they love Allah more. From this ayah we talk about a very important issue, which was, who knows what we were talking about.
The scriptures, you love Allah.
But it's related to that. But what is the first?
The only one that you love yourself is Allah.
The only one Allah is, we love Him as an act of worship. Part of Tawheed is to love Allah. Part of our Tawheed is to love Allah, and this love to Him is unique. We do not love anything else like we love Allah. If we do, we will be making shirk. Therefore, those people who took deity, that they love them as much as they love Allah. Nowadays we have people, they love their deities more than they love Allah. More than they love Allah. And to prove that, he can swear by Allah on falsehood without any hesitation. But you tell him, swear by so and so, he will not. And swear by the wali so and so, he will not. Because he loves the wali more than he loves Allah. And so on and so forth. So love, swear by Allah, false and many issues. Tell him, swear by your honor, he say no. Some people have this type of personality. So they did not even equate their deities with Allah, but they made whatever they love this more than they love Allah Azza wa Jal. And we talked about love of being two or three types. Who remembers those types of love?
Love for children.
Will you not talk about it?
There were some children and you love your children. Something you hate
and whatever.
Love.
Have an act of worship.
Love for love.
Love for love. Let's have time here. We have the love. We can go through that. Love which is an act of worship. And that is only to be ascribed to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Then you have love for the sake of Allah. Love as an act of worship to Allah, and then love for the sake of Allah. And that comes subordinate to loving Allah. Because if you love Allah, you have to love whoever Allah loves. إِذَا كُنْتَ تُحِبُّ اللَّهَ فَعَلَيْكَ أَنْ تُوَافِقَ اللَّهَ فِي مَحْبُوبَاتِهِ بِغَرَضِهِ إِنْ كُنْتَ تُحِبُّ اللَّهَ فعليك أن توافق الله في محبوباته. تفهم؟ If you love Allah, that means you have to love whatever Allah loves. Don't you listen to Majnun Layla? What did he say? He said, أمر على الديار ديار ليلى أقبل ذا الجدار وذا الجدار ما حب الديار شغفنا قلبي ولكن حب من سكن الديار. This person, he's a poet. He loved a woman by the name of Layla. It's in the Arabic literature. And he said, I go to the residency of Layla and I hit the wall. It's not like the wall which I like, but I like whoever lives inside those walls. So part of love is to love whomever your beloved loves. Therefore we love people for the sake of Allah. We see a Muslim, we love him for the sake of Allah. We see a practice in Islam, we love him more in the sake of Allah. And so on and so forth. And third we have a love which is a naturalistic love.
Yeah, that's true.
You love your children. You love your wife.
Yes.
You love your parents. You love your father. This is naturalistic love. You love me. You do not love that, you love certain type of food, you do not love certain type of food, and so on and so forth. With naturalistic love, sometimes it is solidified by your love for the sake of Allah. Solidified. So you love your child, and then you see your child praying and fasting, then you love him more. But just like it is solidified by our love for the sake of Allah, it's also reduced by our love for the sake of Allah. You might have your cousin, your uncle, somebody related to you. You love them from the same blood, but you see this person opposing Allah and His Messenger, then you have to stop your love to him. Because who will take control is the love of the sake of Allah, is the domineering love. Many people make the naturalistic love the domineering love, not the love for the sake of Allah. And this is a mistake. Many people who are not aware of the issues of Tawheed, they fall in. And this is what the benefit of the Tawheed. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, connected that with Tawheed. He said, لا تجد قوما يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يحبون ويوادون من عاد الله ورسوله ولو كانوا إخوانهم أو آباءهم إلى نهاية الآية. You're not going to find people who believe in Allah and the last day love those who oppose Allah and His Messenger. Because your love to Allah always greater than your love for those people. After all, Allah is the one who benefits you. Allah is the one that keeps evil away from before you. Allah is the one who created this person and He created other people. Related to that, when we love or hate people for the sake of Allah, that should be controlled with a hadith that I'm sure we mentioned last time. Hadith written by At-Tirmidhi. Who remembers this hadith? أحبب حبيبك هون الناس عسى أن يكون بغيضك يوم الناس وابغض بغيضك هون الناس عسى أن يكون حبيبك هون يوم الناس. حديث طبعا حديث هو الترمذي. If you love your love the whom you love will ease, because this person might become your enemy one day. And hate whoever you hate with ease, because that person might become your friend. We never know who. Allah is the one who controls the heart. Allah is the one who controls the heart. Therefore, when Wahshi, the one who killed Hamza is the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He killed him. He did not have anything against Hamza, but he wanted to set himself free from slavery, and they promised him, if you kill him, we're going to set you free from slavery. They killed Hamza. And then Allah opened Wahshi's heart to Islam. And he came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he told him, I am Wahshi and I want to become Muslim. The Prophet looked up at him and said, well, how did you do that? He told him. He said, okay. Do not let me see your face anymore. So Wahshi was always come to sit behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet did not see his face. But the Prophet forget when he came Muslim. And that tells you how a person, they become with you on the same page, on the same da'wah. Therefore Wahshi, he was very upset for what he did. Until he went and he killed Usaylam al-Kalibat. He is the one who killed him. He took his spear when they went against him and he waited for him and he threw the spear at his heart. So thus we tell us how we love for the sake of Allah, we hate for the sake of Allah. But love is part of our tawheed. Our religion is the religion of love. Our religion is the religion of love. Because you can never, never have tawheed to Allah Azza wa Jal without loving Him. Therefore, when the people claim that they love Allah, what did Allah legislate for them? He said, if you love Allah, follow the messenger. very straight to the point type of dealing with the situation. We do not want lip service, we want action. We love Allah, follow the message. Okay, so. Then, the hadith is saying, من قال لا إله إلا الله وكفر بما يعبد بما يعبد من دون الله حرم ماله ودمه وحسابه على الله. Whoever says لا إله إلا الله and disbelieve in anything that is worshipped with Allah or other than Allah, this person becomes protected in his wealth and in his blood, and Allah should be the one who judge him. So from that we know people, their blood and their property is protected. We cannot go and tell the people you are a disbeliever or you are a disbeliever. If they justify La ilaha illallah and with this testimony comes the testimony of Prophet Muhammad, the last and final messenger. And every other deity is now on board, this person becomes protected. And that relates to what we have discussed yesterday, that it's not something that we can do easy to tell a person simply because we differ in this opinion, and an opinion you are a disbeliever. There's conditions that have to be met for those, and we are very strict decisions. So this person is protected in his property and in his money. Nevertheless, Allah will judge him on the day of judgment.
I get a question here.
Can we have the question in the last, inshallah, we will be able to the question. What is it that we have finished this chapter, and we go through the issues that are put at the end of the chapter?
There are no issues. Chapter 6, there are no issues.
We're not in chapter 6. We are in chapter 8, with chapter 6 of those issues. الشاكر أرض من لبث الحلقة والقيد ونحوهما لرفع البلاء أو لدفعه من الشرك لبس الحلقة أو القيد ونحوهما لرفع البلاء أو دفعه. It's part of shirk to wear a ring or anything of like nature to keep evil from befalling you or to deliver yourself from an affliction. It's a shirk, part of shirk, to wear a ring or anything of like nature, a bracelet, to keep evil from befalling you or deliver yourself from affliction. Before we enter this chapter, we need to deal with an issue that is important for us to understand this issue, and that is the importance of the cause and effect relationship. Al-asbab wal-musabbabat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ربط الأسباب بمسبباتها بحكمته التي بهرت العقول بحكمته المتناهية. ربط الله سبحانه وتعالى الأسباب بمسبباتها. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his utmost level of wisdom, he connected the cause and effect in a way that we cannot comprehend, but we can appreciate and see the wisdom behind that. And for every cause, he made it an effect, he made to it an effect. And that effect in and of itself might be a cause for something else. So every cause might come out of it an effect, and that effect is a cause for something else. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has an effect on everything, and the one who controls everything without any chain reaction. This is why we say لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. There is no power and control except with Allah Azza wa Jalla. He is the one who controls everything. He is the one who affects everything. So the cause and effect relationship that we have here, we have to understand first that Allah connected and tied the cause and effect. We as a human, when we want to achieve a desirable effect, a desirable consequence, we have to do two things. To choose a cause which is connected to the desirable effect. Choose a cause that is connected to the desirable effect. Secondly, affect the appropriate cause. Affect with an A. Affect the appropriate cause. Bring it into affecting. This is two things. After we do that, in doing so, the desirable effect is not guaranteed to be realized. After you do that, you might get the consequences, or Allah might inhibit it. There may be some factors that will inhibit the effectiveness of the cause. Some of those factors are tangible, and some are not tangible. Both the tangible and intangible inhibitors are manifestations that Allah does not will for a cause to be effective. In another word, it is Allah who suspends or affects the effectiveness of the cause. For example, striking a match on a surface there is a cause to ignite the match, which is the effect. Wetness on the surface is a tangible factor that will inhibit the effectiveness of the cause. Thus, the cause will lose its effectiveness. At times, there are no tangible factors that will inhibit the effectiveness of the cause. No tangible. Yet, the cause is restricted from being effective. The story of Ibrahim can shed more light on this issue. Ibrahim called his people to forego worshipping idols and worship Allah only. The disbeliever decided to kill Ibrahim. Thus, they gathered wood and ignited the fire to throw Ibrahim in it. Allah created the fire with the ability to burn. Allah خلق النار وخلق فيها القوة قوة الحرق. Thus, fire is a cause to burn. When Ibrahim was thrown in the fire, Allah changed the nature of fire from burning to being cool. وقالوا حرقوه وانصروا آلهتكم إن كنتم فاعلين قلنا يا نار كوني بردا وسلاما على إبراهيم. They said, burn him and be victorious to your God. If you want to be victorious, we said, O fire, be coolness and safety for Ibrahim. This ayah benefits the following. Allah created the fire with the ability to burn. If the fire did not have the ability to burn, Allah would not order the fire to be cool. Secondly, the fire is the cause. Burning is the effect. If the fire were not caused to burn, Allah would not suspend its effect, which is its ability to burn. The cause will bring the appropriate effect unless in the presence of inhibiting factors. The cause will bring the appropriate effect unless in the presence of inhibiting factors. Allah can suspend the effectiveness of the cause The fire did not burn Ibrahim because its effect was suspended. Allah may change the nature of the cause. Allah did not only suspend the fire from being able to burn, but also Allah made the fire cool and safe. Change the nature of it. Thus, when a person affects the cause, he must not depend on the cause to bring the effect, but rather depend on Allah to make the cause effective. عندما تؤثر الأسباب لا تعتمد على الأسباب بجلب المسببات ولكن اعتمد على الله بأن يجعل هذه الأسباب مؤثرة. As far as cause and effect relationship, people fall in three categories. First, those who depend on the cause itself. The majority of the people fall in this category. They believe the cause itself will bring the desirable effect. This type of people are heedless to the fact that Allah is the one who tied the cause to its respective effect. This heedlessness results in dependence on the cause itself. The second type of people, those who ignore the causes in totality. Those people think that affecting the causes violates depending on Allah. Also, this type of people are heedless to the fact that Allah is the one who tied the cause to its respective effect. However, this heedlessness is manifested in total ignorance to the causes. This understanding is present in some of the extreme Sufis. They say, why do you have to eat? Why do you have to work? If Allah wants to feed us, food will come to us. Why do you have to do anything? But we find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he wanted to go back from Mecca to Medina, he told his companion when they had the Udhiyah, take with you some food to last us. That does not nullify or reduce his dependence on Allah, but he was affecting the cause. فَعْقُدْهَا وَتَوَكَّلْ. The third type of people, those who affect the cause and depend on Allah to obtain the desirable effect. Those are the ones who have the correct dependence on Allah. They are heedful to the fact that Allah tied the causes to its respective effect. Thus they affect the cause and depend on Allah to make the cause effective. The following example will elucidate this matter. A sane individual seeking offspring must take certain steps in hope to realize the offspring. A person who ignores the causes can never beget any children. Whereas a person who depends on the causes thinks affecting them is sufficient to obtain the offspring. However, the heedful person will affect the causes and depend on Allah to make them effective. Allah said in the Quran, فَالْآنَ بَاشِرُوهُنَّ وَابْتَغُوا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ. Allah said, so now touch them, the women, and see what Allah has instituted for you. So simply by mubasharat al-nisa, that does not mean you're going to have the children. You make the mubashara, you make the touch, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make this effort fruitful or fruitless. This ayah indicates that having sexual relations is a means to obtain that which has been already written in the books of destiny. Also, this ayah implies that if no children were written in the books of destiny, the sexual relation will be fruitless. have a glance at the reality, affirm this fact. Many marriages remain childless despite the human effort in seeking children. Allah says in the Quran, لله ملك السماوات والأرض يخلق ما يشاء يهب لمن يشاء إناثا ويهب لمن يشاء الذكور أو يزوجهم ذكرانا وإناثا ويجعل من يشاء عقيما إنه عليم قدير. And this ayah says, Allah holds the heavens and the earth. So give to some female as he gives to some males. And to some he gives females and males. And for some he does not give them anything. So everything rests in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Having said that, now we understand the relation between cause and effect. It's important because many of the Islamic sects, they say there's no cause in Islam. They negate any causes. So if I take a stone and throw it at the window and the glass shatters, it's not because I threw the stone, but when the stone was close to that glass, the window shattered because there's no cause and effect. But the Quran and the Sunnah is filled of clear evidence that there's cause and effect, yet those causes and effects, they're not operating outside the destiny of Allah. They are within the destiny of Allah and controlled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is the one who connected them. Now having said that, causes